Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. Today, I am happy to welcome back to the show Ben Cope, the Internet Genius. We had a terrific show last week. We're talking about mobile marketing. We didn't get anywhere near through all the material that we had to cover, so we're doing a two-part show. It's a very, very important topic. For instance, did you know that there are 4 billion, with a B, mobile phone owners on the planet? Billion. There's a lot of us. 90% of text messages are read within 3 minutes of being delivered. I know Ben talked about that last week. You do not get that kind of open rate or conversion rate down the road with email marketing. It just doesn't happen, and my suspicion is it never will happen. 79% of smartphone users use their phone to help with shopping, while 74% ultimately make a purchase as a result of that search. These are important things to know. Mobile marketing is here. It is time to really jump on board. It is time to get familiar with it from the perspective that you're going to help people with their mobile shopping, with their, you know, selling your products. You're already doing it on your own phone. Now you need to learn how to do it for your business. So, Ben, welcome back to the show. I'm delighted to have you. It's such a great topic.
It is. Thanks again for having me on the show. I am very excited about the potential for mobile marketing in 2012. I think as some of the statistics you shared emphasize, the future is mobile. And I think the foregone conclusion that if you have a website at all of any kind, you should have also a mobile version of the site. And I know last week we talked about some of the differences between a mobile website versus a mobile app, and we talked a little bit about why it's important to have a mobile website. And I think today we kind of get into some practical tips for people to understand about making mobile-friendly websites. What exactly should they be focusing on to make their website mobile-friendly? And we'll kind of share some resources and web addresses that people can go to for more information and so they can get started with mobile marketing.
Right. Now, Ben, one of the big questions that you get asked, I get asked, and I think we covered this last week, but let's do it again just so people know. You don't necessarily have to already have an existing website. And, you know, if you have an old HTML website, you can still have a mobile version of your website, correct?
Correct. It's possible to have a dedicated mobile site without having any website at all. It's also possible to have a single website where when somebody visits your website from a mobile device, it automatically detects that they're on a mobile device and will show them the mobile-friendly version of your site. And we can talk about the pros and cons of each approach, because there are some instances, in my opinion, where it's beneficial to have a separate standalone mobile site versus having a single installation such as with a WordPress website. So there are reasons for having completely separate sites, but there's also a lot of benefits to keeping everything on a single domain, especially when it comes to social media and giving people the ability to share your content from a mobile device on Facebook or Twitter, for example.
Well, since we've already brought up the subject, why don't we take that as our jumping off point and go ahead and talk about the differences between the sites and what might, you know, how would you determine what is best for you? So give people those, you know, that information and those options, and we'll just take it from there.
It really depends upon what it is that you want your mobile website to accomplish. If you already have an existing website, let's say that it's a WordPress website, and and it's a very simple, basic 6 to 10 page website with about us and contact us and our location and our services, what you might call a brochure-style website, then it absolutely makes sense to simply convert that existing website into a mobile-friendly version without having two separate dedicated sites. However, if your website is more sophisticated, more complicated, it's got hundreds of pages inside of it, there's a ton of stuff in there, and perhaps you want to consider having a separate dedicated mobile version so that it's easier to manage the content. Because one of the difficulties with having a single website that is also mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly is the presentation of the content. Designing mobile-friendly pages is a lot different than designing pages for the desktop, where you've got up to 1,000 pixels wide width to work with, whereas on a mobile device, you're only working on a small screen, say 320 pixels, somewhere in that range. So the graphics that go on your pages for a mobile device are generally smaller in size than they would be on the corresponding desktop version. I think one of the best ways to know if your existing site would work in a mobile-friendly version is to install a WordPress plugin called WP Touch. This is a free plugin that you can get to from your WordPress dashboard by clicking on Plugins and then Add New. And if you search for the word WP Touch, you'll find that plugin come up. And you can very easily activate that plugin and then look at your actual site on a mobile device. See what the pages look like. Is it going to take a lot of work to recreate or reconfigure the pages to look friendly on a mobile device? That's a good starting point, just if you want to quickly, very quickly, see how your website looks on a mobile site. But ultimately, if you really want a mobile site that is more easily customized to match the look and feel of your website, you might consider going with a premium WordPress theme that creates a dedicated mobile version and that has its own theme options page where you can control the icons and the styling and the colors and upload your own logo and that kind of thing.
Now, the next question is going to be for people who may be brand new to this. They're going to say, well, I've already got a domain name. What other domain name do I need to buy so people can find me? Do they go with .mobi? Do they go with .me? What are your recommendations there?
I think the trend for mobile websites is to use a subdomain like m.yourdomain.com. And if you already have a domain registered, you know, mycompanyname.com, you can simply create a subdomain, m, which for mobile, dot mycompanyname.com, and that would be very easy to do. There's no additional cost for registration. It's very easy to either integrate that into your existing site or to make it a completely separate, standalone mobile site, either way. The dot mobi domain, I don't think the trend is for people to actually use that domain. It's certainly available. If you have a .com and you plan to have a mobile version of your site, it would be wise to go ahead and register the .mobi extension of your domain name and then redirect that URL to the mobile-friendly version of your website.
Right. I've often wondered about that because, to be honest with you, I don't see the .mobi extension very often.
And I'll tell you
why
that is.
I think that's important information.
One reason that I think the .mobi extension has not taken off or been as widely used is because most website owners, business owners, would rather have a single domain name that they can market. Mm-hmm. Typically, that's a .com or a .org 90% of the time. And there are ways to automatically detect visitors that are on mobile devices. So that way, in their marketing and their promotion, when they're sharing their website, they're still promoting their primary .com or .org domain. And then when the visitor pulls up the site on a mobile device, there's a script that automatically detects if they are on a mobile device. And if they are, then it will display the mobile version of the site. And that doesn't have to be a .mobi. So really it's kind of it's unnecessary to have the .mobi extension. But at the same time, I think it's wise to go ahead and register that extension of the same name as your .com or your .org.
Right, to protect your brand. I always suggest to people that they get as many of the top-level extensions as they can so nobody comes along behind you and scoops your name and does something ugly with it or holds it up for sale back to you. They're not expensive. You might as well just protect it. I tend to agree with you on the .mobi, though. I suspect, and I don't have any data to back this up, but it has always been my suspicion that they put out the .mobi, but technology overtook, you know, the other technology overtook the .mobis, and they're pretty much just not needed anymore, I don't think, you know, because of the new plugins and just the different ways for browsers to detect whether you're on a mobile site or, you know, a .com or something like that. So, yeah, I think that makes, you know, perfect sense. It still is a question that people are going, oh, I've got to have the .mobi. I'm thinking you don't, not to use it, but to certainly protect yourself.
Exactly. Speaking of automatic detecting whether a visitor is on a mobile site or a desktop, because I know that's a question people have. Well, where do you get the script that will automatically detect? And if you are on WordPress, your main website is already built in WordPress, there is a plugin called Mobile Smart that you can simply install and activate, and it will automatically detect if the visitor is browsing your site from a mobile device, and then it will load a separate WordPress theme that's designed for mobile devices. So this plugin does two things. First, it automatically detects if they're on a mobile device. And then secondly, it loads an alternate WordPress theme customized for mobile devices. So it does require that you have a separate WordPress theme installed, but the plugin handles which one gets displayed. And one of the reasons that I particularly like this plugin, of the ones that I've tested so far, and this could change because I'm sure that as mobile use becomes even more popular, that there will be other plugins and other tools and scripts that will be useful. But one reason I like the Mobile Smart WordPress plugin is because it actually gives you the option to include a link in the footer of your pages that allows mobile visitors to switch to the desktop version of your site. And that's a good point, because just because I'm on a mobile device doesn't necessarily mean that I want to view the mobile version of your site, particularly if I'm on a tablet device like an iPad or a Kindle Fire, where the screen size is a lot larger and many regular desktop versions of websites look just fine in an iPad. So I think
or a Kindle Fire. We tested it the other day on my Kindle Fire, and so far I haven't come across anything that made me go, oh, wow. Everything in its normal form, if you will, normal being, you know, the desktop, looked just fine on the Kindle Fire.
Right.
So
exactly.
For me, it did not require the mobile version at all.
Right. Yep. And I think
you know, that could change depending on the website, of course, and I only tested maybe 8 or 9. But, you know, it's a pretty good sampling, I thought.
It is. And I think the point is to give people the option. I was on a website the other day in my iPhone, and I loaded the regular .com version of the site, and a little pop-up came up, and it said, it looks like you're viewing our site on a mobile device. Would you like to switch to the mobile version of our site, yes or no? Mm-hmm. So it actually gave me the option to say, yes, take me to the mobile version, or no, keep me on the regular site. And so I think that's a good practice, at least giving people the option to be able to switch between the mobile version or the desktop version.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, and I noticed this yesterday. I was doing some surfing as a news site in the UK. I tend to like to get some of my news from the UK. They don't appear to be as biased as, you know, American. We're not going to go down that road, but I just find that I like to surf around and get my news elsewhere and then form my own conclusions. So, you know, I'm on this site, and all of a sudden, and this really kind of bothered me, I have to say, I realized that an ad was popping up because I had been to another retail site earlier in the day, much earlier in the day, purchased something, and darned if they didn't track me. Somehow on my computer, I was tracked, and they knew exactly what I had purchased, and they were making recommendations based on what I had purchased. I have to tell you, it ticked me off. It really did. And I opted out of it immediately. I mean, they have to let you opt out. My point for saying that is that there's so much going on in the background anymore. You don't know what's going to pop up, and the technologies are fierce. So if you can think of it, you can probably do it. Mobile marketing is huge, huge, huge because of these technologies that are coming out every day. So we better pay close attention to how we work as marketers, as business people, to what's going on with this technology on your desktop and on your phone, because advertisement is everything to these retailers. And I'm telling you, they can be vicious about it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But I'm also very aware of it, so I get out of it as quickly as I can. Most people are not going to pay attention, and they're not going to be as, you know, ticked off about it as I am. And I think advertisers count on that.
Yeah, they do. I think the key, like you said, is to be conscious of it and to be aware of, you know, where you're being tracked and what information is stored and that kind of stuff. But it also raises an interesting opportunity for businesses to advertise on mobile devices, because most people are with Google AdWords or Facebook ads or the pay-per-click ads. But it's also possible to create mobile versions of your ads that appear only to mobile visitors. A lot of apps in the App Store that are free to download, both in the Android market and the Apple iTunes Store, they're free because they're monetized through mobile ads. So, for example, on my iPhone, I have the New York Times mobile app, and I have ABC News mobile app. And when I open up those apps, periodically I'll get a little tiny graphic that slides up at the bottom or across the top, and it's specifically optimized for mobile sites. And when you click on them, it takes you to mobile-friendly websites. But this is a great opportunity, especially for different markets where there's not a lot of mobile advertising going on. It's not already heavily saturated. And it presents a great opportunity for a small business to tap into that mobile market, because Google allows you to specifically target mobile devices with mobile ads. And you could actually have your ad appear in somebody else's app, which is a really neat opportunity.
And this is all growing and evolving, so this is the time to really start paying attention. I mean, mobile marketing didn't just pop up yesterday, but it is in its infancy. So it's time to really, really get familiar with it, and how can it help you, and how can you protect yourself, too? I mean, you know, there's always good and there's always bad. I just happen to be very, very aware of things like that, and I don't play. I don't play in the sandbox. Most people are going to say, well, it doesn't bother me. That's fine, whatever, you know, your personal bias or you know, information that you're willing to give or receive. That, I mean, that's really up to you. But mobile it's imperative that we start paying attention to it, no question about it.
I agree.
Now, I know that we talk a lot, too, about local businesses. You know, how can they benefit from mobile marketing? So I would love for you to go down that road. Because, you know, small businesses, they're just now, from what I can tell, you know, in my local market and, you know, customers and consumers that I do business with here, small local businesses, mom and pops, or, you know, a business that may have one or two locations, they're just now kind of discovering Facebook. They're just now discovering a little bit about social media. So this is also a good time, I think, for them to discover mobile marketing. So how can a cell phone help a local business?
I think the number one way that a local business could benefit from having a mobile optimized version of their site is being found in the mobile search results. I think it's something that most people aren't aware of, that Google has a free keyword research tool. If you can go to Google, type in free Google keyword tool, and you'll the very first result will take you to the Google Keyword Analyzer. And one of the things that you can do with the analyzer is to search for keywords that are specific to mobile devices. In other words, you can segment or separate out the results that Google shows you for all searches globally or just searches on mobile devices. Having a local business and having a mobile-friendly website is a good thing because you're more likely to come up in the search results if Google knows that you have a mobile-friendly website and you're on Google Places, for example. Those websites and results are biased. Google will show you those results first in the mobile search results. So number one essential, if you have a local business, get listed in Google Places and go ahead and add your mobile or your website to your Google Places listing. Add your business hours and your physical location with an address complete with zip code, city and zip code, because that is where people are going to find you in the local search results on their mobile device. And typically that's what people are using their mobile phones for when they're out and about and they're searching for things. The searches on mobile devices are more heavily towards location. Somebody is looking for a specific service in a specific location, and they're using their mobile phone to find those businesses. So you want a website that comes up at the top of the mobile search results.
And Ben, just so people know, you're mentioning Google Places, and I think we covered this a little bit last week. Google Places is free. It doesn't cost you anything. You do have to follow up in that they will send you a postcard and have you, you know, go back and input some information from the postcard, or they'll call you. There's different ways. They do need to verify that you are who you say you are. And unfortunately, some people just get the postcard, they don't know what it is, and they never verify, and they don't show up. So it is very important to do the follow-through, but there is no cost. The cost is only in the little bit of time that it took you to set it up and then go back in and complete the process.
Exactly. And I think, you know, being in Google Places is certainly the best place to start. But ultimately, when it comes to mobile marketing, local businesses could also benefit from looking into things like Foursquare and Yelp, the check-in tools, tools that allow people to check into your location or service. There are ways to offer promotions to people who check into your site. You can also offer text message marketing by having a VIP text club. That allows you to send out text messages to the people that are on your mobile list. And the really cool thing about text message marketing is that you can reach your customers immediately in real time. So, for example, if you have a salon and you take appointments, unless it's the middle of the day and it's kind of slow, but you have a mobile text list, you could text message the people on your list and say, hey, we've got a special offer for the next three people who come in, will take 20% off your service. So it's a way to reach those people immediately, but also offer something of value to them and also fill your appointment if you're in a down time of the day. And that's one example. There's so many different ways that you can customize your message with text marketing. It could be, you know, you're running a holiday special, like take your dad to dinner without breaking the bank. You know, click here or call now to book your reservation or whatever. Your marketing could be tied to a local event, such as everyone save $7 if the Broncos win tonight, that kind of thing.
Right. I think I read somewhere yesterday that Chick-fil-A, I think it was Chick-fil-A, is doing exactly what you're talking about. They figured out that midday, after lunch, between dinner, around 3:30, kind of a slow time for them. So they will send out a text message with a coupon.
Exactly.
And it brings people in the door.
It does, because the response rate to text messages, as you mentioned at the very beginning, is extremely high. 97% of people that have a smartphone keep it within arm's reach at all times. And think about, obviously, Denise, you might be the exception, because I know you like
to... I am. Mine's in the car.
But, you know, 97% of people with a phone or a smartphone keep it with them or at least within arm's reach 100% of the time. It's always with them wherever they go. And
right,
you know, the open rate for a text message is opened within 3 minutes of being received. So you can send a text message to your list, and people that are on the list are going to open that within 3 minutes and see. So it's immediate. Unlike email marketing, where you may have to wait a day or two, or, you know, the responses will kind of trickle in depending on when people check their email and if it didn't go into the spam folder and
right,
how compelling the actual email is.
And honestly, you know, by the time they open it, the sale or the offer is done.
Yes, it can be.
On email. It's just the email was... I'm not saying email marketing is a bad thing. It's a good thing. It just doesn't have the sense of urgency or the real-time statistics that mobile marketing does.
Right.
Yeah. I know one thing, and I notice this all the time when I'm out and about, and you're right, people have that cell phone either at their ear or in their hand. I'm constantly amazed by seeing people... They'll get out of the car, you know, they're juggling a baby, they're juggling grocery bags, but that cell phone is right there in that hand. I don't do that. I'm one of the rare people that my cell phone is used pretty much in my car. If I'm going somewhere, I want it with me. For the most part, I could care less about that cell phone. I spend way too much time on the phone already, and I'm not going to be attached to that phone. I've always been that way. Wouldn't do without one, but I'm not married to it, I guess, is the best way to say. But
right,
my observation is that most people are, and you're right, I think 97% is a true statistic. I think it's absolutely correct.
Yes.
It's also, to me, it's a little bit sad, I have to say, because you know, people are so, and again, it's just an observation, but they're so intent on the phone, they're not looking around and making eye contact with other people or, you know, smelling the roses. I think it's kind of sad, but it is what it is. We can't fight it.
Right. But at the same time, it does also facilitate relationship building and connection. It gives people, local businesses specifically, an opportunity
true,
to connect their client base
right,
through a means that their clients are already using. It's natural. And there are advantages of having a mobile website because there are features that are specific to mobile devices, such as the click-to-call feature. Having a button on your website that people can just touch and it instantly dials the number without them even having to type it in manually. With a regular website, you might have your phone number listed, but there's no way somebody can just click on it and it dial your number. But mobile devices
right,
have that click-to-call capability, which is you definitely want to take advantage of. Another feature unique to mobile devices and mobile websites is the Google Maps feature, being able to have an icon or a link or a button that when somebody clicks on it, it instantly launches the Google Maps application on their smartphone where they can instantly get directions to your location. Because a lot of people, again, that are searching on mobile devices for local business, those searches typically are location-based. They're looking for directions. They want a phone number. They want to book an appointment. They want to come in now. It's all about immediacy and having that click-to-call feature and the Google Maps button that they can just click on to launch Google Maps makes it easy for them to find you and to get to your location.
So let's go back to texting because I know we're talking about it. We're not giving any real specifics yet. How would people incorporate that into their marketing plan? Is it expensive? Is it difficult to set up? Are there certain resources that you can recommend? Where do people start with text messaging? What do they need to know?
Well, the first thing that you need to know is that there are all kinds of text message providers out there. So if you come across one text message company and you're looking at their pricing and their plans, keep in mind that they're probably one of 100. Or one of 1,000 text message marketing companies out there. So do your research. Look around. One of the places that you can go to look at text message marketing is called textmagic.com. This is one that I came across the other day. They have reasonable pricing plans, although I think there are some other companies out there that are more competitive. But you want to look at what their pricing plans are. I've seen text message plans as low as $7 a month and as high as $150 and $300 a month. It all depends on the volume, how much text, how many texts are you going to be sending, how frequently, what is the size of your list, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Secondly, there are two forms of text message marketing. If you're a local business and you want to start doing text message marketing, you can have a keyword like pizza that your customers can text, usually to a five-digit number. For example, you might have your five-digit number might be 55678, and if your keyword was pizza, then your customers could text the word pizza from their mobile device to that five-digit number, 55678. And as soon as they do that, it would put their number in your list, and you would be able to send them to, you know, specific messages. One of the disadvantages of having a five-digit number like that is that you also share that number potentially with thousands of other businesses. So it can be hard to find a keyword that hasn't already been taken. So if you're a pizza restaurant and you're sharing the same five-digit number with thousands of other places, chances are pretty high that there's already a pizza restaurant using that five-digit number. So you couldn't use the keyword pizza, for example. And the alternative is to have a dedicated seven-digit phone number that you own. It's yours. Nobody else can use it. And there are also text message companies that offer that service as well, where you have a seven-digit phone number that you can also use for text message marketing, and it can also be tied directly to your regular phone number, so that you could use both. You could use that seven-digit number and have it automatically ring your office phone, but you could also use that seven-digit number for text message marketing. So there are pros and cons to both. The main thing is to be aware that there are lots of companies out there offering text message marketing, and it's up to you to kind of do the research and figure out which plan is going to work best for you. I like the pay-as-you-go plans, the ones that don't require any upfront fee, and the ones where you kind of pay for the credits as you use them. Also, a lot of companies will offer you a 30-day free trial. One of the reasons they do that is because you're going to try it out and like it. And when you do like it, guess which company you're going to sign up with? The one that gave you the 30-day trial. So, you know, if it's something that you just want to dip your toes in the water, so to speak, you can sign up for a free trial and start testing it out to see if it's something that would work for you.
Okay, I love that idea. So, and honestly, it's going to get more competitive. So don't feel like you need to pick a company and stay with it. I mean, you know, do your research, do your looking around, talk with other people who are using this, you know, ask for resources, ask for recommendations, go online and read reviews, very, very important. So, Ben, let's go back to, you know, we're talking about making it local, you know, making sure that the address, you know, people can get there from their phone, maps and directions, Google. Google is very important. We talked about this a bit last week, but at the very least, you need to start with a Gmail account so you have access to the free Google tool. So if you don't have a Gmail account, get that set up. You're going to need it for Google Analytics. You're going to need it for Google Maps. You're going to need it for a ton of stuff, all of it free. So just, you know, get that set up. You know, you have to kind of be careful. And Ben, talk about this a little bit, if you will. Their naming, Google has some naming, not recommendations, but requirements. You have to be pretty careful about what email address you ask for. So do you want to address that?
What are you referring to when you sign up for a Gmail account?
Well, when you sign up for a Gmail account, it basically, if you're trying to set up a Google profile in Google Plus, mostly Google profile, if you've set it up as John Blow, you know, AutoCater or something, some ridiculous name, and you try to set that up as your Google profile, they're not going to allow it. It has to be your name.
Right, exactly.
So I tell people when you're setting up a Gmail account, they'll say, oh, well, you know, I want to be Billy Bob's Bird Feeders. Well, that's great, but you're not going to be able to set up a Google profile, and you've just kind of defeated the purpose of a Gmail account.
Right.
So try to get your own name if you can. I know a lot of people don't want to do that, and they don't see the need for it, but you really do need to. These days, people are looking for you, particularly on the Internet. They're looking for you by name, not so much as brand. They're not looking for Coca-Cola. They're not looking for these giant brands. They tend to be looking for individuals. Individuals who own businesses, individuals who offer services and, you know, things like that. So it's just the way it is. But be careful how you set up your Gmail account, depending on what you want to use it for. If you don't care about a Google profile, go for Billy Bob's Bail Bonds. Hey, good alliteration. I finally got one out there. But, you know, just be careful. You know, do your research, but you do need to start with a Gmail account to get all of these other features into play. So, Ben, so let's talk about, we've got a whole ton of stuff to talk about here. What are some of the best practices for your mobile websites? I mean, we covered some of it. Can you go over some of the really important things?
Yeah, we can. I think the number one thing that you should consider when having a mobile-friendly website is that it should load quickly. And the ideal page loading time for a mobile website is 3 to 4 seconds.
Mm.
Definitely under 5 seconds. If your website doesn't load in 5 seconds or less on a mobile device, then it's not as mobile friendly as it could be. In mobile optimized websites, the graphics are reduced in file size, they're compressed, the amount of graphics that you're using is typically a lot less. You're not loading near as many JavaScripts and extra code and style sheets. Because you're stripping everything down and just delivering the essentials. And regular desktop websites, particularly WordPress websites, can often take a little longer to load on a mobile device. And the reason why is because it's having to download all kinds of plugins and scripts and style sheets that are associated with your website, which load really fast in a desktop, but may not even be necessary on a mobile device. And that's why having a dedicated mobile version of your site is so important, because that's going to automatically increase the page loading time. You're going to eliminate the necessity of having a dozen or 20 different plugins load all at the same time, because a lot of the plugins that WordPress uses on regular desktop versions of your site aren't applicable in mobile versions of your site. And so by including them unnecessarily, you increase the amount of time that it takes for your site to load. And having a quick-loading site is important. So that's the number one thing, is to keep it quick, make sure that everything downloads quickly, compress your images. You don't necessarily need to use full-size images for the smaller screens. You can use full-size images. You can use the same images that are on your desktop version, and smartphones will automatically scale them down. But by scaling it down, it's not reducing the file size, it's just reducing the display size on your screen, and it's still going to take longer to load. So, you know, using smaller images and minimizing things that aren't necessary will help speed up your website.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you a question, but I think you're going to cover it. Go ahead.
The second thing is to simplify your navigation. You definitely don't want to have a lot of scrolling on a mobile device. Minimize the scrolling, especially horizontal scrolling. I know even on desktop computers, that's important. You definitely don't want to have visitors scrolling left to right in order to view
right.
all of the content on your site.
Yeah, that's an absolute no-no. That always has been.
You'll notice if you load a regular website on a mobile device that you're going to have that scrolling left to right, particularly if you're looking at your site on an iPhone or an Android where the screen is super small. So the only solution with a regular website is for the visitor to pinch and zoom and drag your site around with their finger. But it's very cumbersome. It's not user-friendly. It can be very hard to click on links because they're so tiny. And, you know, you think about drop-down menus on mobile devices. They don't work very well. they can work, and I've seen mobile sites that have drop-down menus, but if they're not set up the right way, then they just don't work at all. So I'm going to click on the top-level link to get the drop-down menu, and then it automatically takes me to that top-level link. There's a way to create drop-down menus for mobile devices the right way that minimizes the frustration of people accidentally clicking on a page that they didn't really want to go to. But the key is to simplify your navigation. Ideally, have 7 or fewer links per page. Don't include a whole ton of links all over the place. Not only can that make it more difficult for people to actually click on with their finger or their thumb, but you want to minimize the navigation. You want to have an easy-to-find home button. Make sure it's very easy for visitors to get back to the home page of your mobile site. Typically, a mobile site home page serves as kind of like a menu. It's a portal with buttons that people could just click on or tap to go straight to that section of the site. And if your website is extremely complex and you have tons and tons of content and pages, one way to minimize that without having to include links to the 20 different pages that you have is to include a search box and make the search feature prominently visible on the mobile version of your site so that people can actually search for whatever it is that they're looking for.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I had a question. So there really, if I'm understanding correctly, Ben, if you have a pretty big website, and a lot of my clients do, they have a pretty big website, I think what I'm hearing you say is the best thing to do for their mobile site is to just basically pick out the high points. You can't really have buttons for every single thing. Right. We were talking about one yesterday. We have to pick out the high points. What is the most important information that a mobile visitor is going to want to see? And clearly it's going to be, you know, in most instances, where is the location? How do they contact you? How do they reach you by phone? Do you have any coupons? Do you have anything that's, you know, going on that is going to be of immediate interest that makes the customer, the consumer go, oh, need to click on that? You want to hit the high points, right? You don't want to just put the whole darn thing out there. But I think by allowing them to view the site, as you said earlier, you know, choose which version you want to see, people can decide what they want to do. Do they want to try to scroll through the whole big site, or are they happy with just the contact information and, you know, the very important things that are on the mobile site? So I think you have to make that decision. I think what has to happen is that you have to recognize as the consumer, as the business owner, consumer from my end, you would be my client, but as a business owner, you have to determine what it is that is very, very important for you to get in the hands of a mobile user, not a desktop user. Two different things entirely.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And it's not necessary to have absolutely everything from your website on the mobile device. And if you do plan to set it up that way, at the very least, break it up into smaller bite-sized pieces and give people the option to read more or learn more and have that take them to another page on your mobile site. But definitely keep it small, keep it short, and think about your call to action. What is it that you want your mobile visitors to do when they come to your website? If you're a local business, it might be to call you to schedule an appointment or a free consultation. It might be that you want to get them to sign up for your coupon club. You want to collect their name and email. Think about the number one most important thing, action, that it is you want your visitors to take and design your mobile website around that. It might also not be a bad idea for every page of your mobile site to have a link or button that people can click on to call you. Because if I'm looking at a mobile website, I want more information. If you give people that button, call now, schedule your appointment, have a question, click here, and then it just launches their phone. It automatically dials the number, and they click OK, and they're instantly connected. I think that's a huge user-friendly way to present information and making it easy for people to follow through on that action. if your number one goal is to collect names and email addresses to build a list, make that very prominent on the home screen. Have an icon or graphic that says, sign up for our text club and get 20% off your next purchase. Offer an incentive for them to take the action that you want them to take. So some of the principles are the same with mobile sites as you would find in desktop versions, offering an incentive or an ethical bribe. But when you're designing the mobile site, keep in mind that, A, you don't have to include everything that's on your main site, and, B, design everything around that main central call to action, whatever that happens to be.
Right. I'm reading some statistics here. I'm sorry, my coffee has not kicked in this morning, and I think I'm catching a cold. We talked about that earlier. But I'm reading online that in August of 2010, Adobe polled 1,200 consumers, mostly smartphone users in the United States, and found out that 30% of those surveyed were purchasing from their mobile devices, and that's Adobe. So people are doing this, and I was just reading somewhere else earlier, too, that Walgreens, I think it was, is now offering prescriptions with a mobile device. You can, you know, click to get your prescriptions refilled. I was not aware of that. Were you?
I had no idea. I know that.
I know.
Walgreens is one of the companies that is pushing the limits when it comes to mobile marketing. I know that, you know, they offer contests. Every time you check into a Walgreens on Foursquare, for example, you're automatically entered to a contest to win $1,000. And they offer all kinds of promotions and things like that for checking in to Foursquare at a Walgreens.
Right.
I was not aware that they offered, you know, prescription refills.
I wasn't either, you know. I mean, it's astonishing what these people are doing. It's absolutely astonishing.
The future is mobile. And, you know, one of the emerging technologies with mobile phones, smartphones, is something called near-field communication. And traditionally, it's been used for payment processing. You may be aware that if you go into a Starbucks and you have Starbucks app downloaded to your smartphone, you can actually pay for your purchases by scanning your phone at the register. You're in a Starbucks, but one of the emerging trends for near field communications technology is something called smart posters, and these are going to be posters that they will detect when a mobile device is near. For example, let's say you're at a movie theater and there's a poster on the wall. You could simply take your mobile phone and scan the poster and instantly get a 20% coupon off your popcorn, for example.
Wow. Yeah.
It's crazy to think about where the technology is headed and what's possible now that wasn't possible even 2 and 3 years ago. Another thing that I've seen, and this is a really creative use of text message marketing, whenever you collect names and emails on your website, you could also ask for a phone number. And then when they enter their phone number, it can automatically be tied into your text message marketing service to send them a text message. Or if they're scheduling an appointment online and you've got their phone number, you can schedule reminders to be sent out by text message. I've seen this done with event registration. Somebody signs up on your website and they put their phone number in, and then the day before the event, they get a reminder text that says, hey, don't forget, the event starts at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Bring your business cards and whatever. So you just have to think creatively when it comes to mobile and marketing. There's a lot of different applications for mobile and text message marketing.
No kidding. I'm reading here, Google's Android and Apple's iPhone currently activate a total of 450,000 phones a day.
Per day, I know.
It's unbelievable. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't buy that many computers. They just don't.
Sure.
But they buy
no.
mobile phones all day. And children have mobile phones. Everybody has a mobile phone.
And that's why they say that the study by Gartner that says by 2013, more people will access the web from their mobile device than from their desktop computers. So.
Right. And, you know, what they're talking here about cross-channel marketing, specific design elements on particular mobile channels. This is such a huge growth industry at this point. We can't even imagine, like you just said, what is coming for us. I mean, it's fascinating to watch. I mean, to be honest with you, because I don't really mess around with my mobile phone, I was a little bit slow to the game because I just don't have it glued to my hand all the time. So it's only in the last year or so that I've even become aware of it, which is kind of a shame. You know, now I'm almost embarrassed to admit that, but I don't like a mobile phone. I just never have. To me, it's a necessary evil, but I'm not in love with it. That, however, doesn't stop me from going, oh, my goodness, this is big-time fascinating stuff. Huge.
Definitely.
And, you know, as a virtual assistant, as a web developer, we're both web developers, we need to know this stuff for our clients. I mean, we just absolutely need to have this information so we can, you know, either implement it for our clients or point them in the right direction. So, but I like the idea of it right now. I'm looking more at it for local businesses because I think, and I know to online retailers like Walmart, you know, JCPenney, Sears, and they've done some remarkable things in mobile marketing, but I think local should really kind of jump on this, don't you think?
I definitely think they should, and especially given the fact that it's so affordable now.
Right.
Have a mobile website designed to create your own QR codes and the little
QR codes are free. Oh, tell people what QR codes are if they don't know.
Yeah, QR codes. QR stands for quick response. It's a little barcode in the shape of a square that has. It looks cryptic looking, like a barcode you would see on the back of a product. But people can.
It's almost sculptural looking. It's really they're interesting.
It is, and we can talk about the creative design or incorporation of QR codes because they do look just ugly, and I think that's one of the reasons they haven't taken off widespread. But they're starting to, especially now that people are able to design them graphically and yet still make them. But it's a quick response code somebody scans with their smartphone camera that will automatically launch a website. Or you could set it up to automatically dial a phone number, or you could set it up to automatically check them in on Foursquare or Yelp or Facebook, et cetera. So it's more than just launching a website. It's versatile. It can also be used to dial phone numbers. It can be used to automatically download your business information to their phone as a contact, for example. So, for example, a chiropractic office could have a QR code at the front desk that said, add us as a contact on your phone, scan this code. And when they scan the QR code, automatically adds the business, name, phone number, address, office hours, to their device as a contact. There's so many applications for QR codes that it's crazy. You can use QR codes to deliver text messages. So somebody scans a code with their smartphone, and then it instantly sends their phone back a coupon. You know, scan this code to get an instant coupon. So QR codes are becoming more popular, especially given the fact that more people are getting smartphones. I think it's still in its infancy in terms of widespread use, but the cutting-edge businesses, even the big-box retailers, are using QR codes. I've seen it, especially in the wine industry, I've seen QR codes on wine bottles that when you scan the QR code, it automatically launches a video explaining information about the wine. Where was it grown? What vineyard? Who's the maker? What's the wine taste like? So it kind of creates an interactive experience for the...
I need to take my phone out and play with it.
It's a very creative way to use QR codes to deliver video messages.
Wow. I know you see these QR codes, and once people start understanding what they are, you'll notice them. They're in magazines. They're on signs. You see them on buses, on people's business cards. You see them on websites now. They're popping up everywhere.
On real estate signs. Real estate agents.
Yeah.
Barcodes on their signs so that when a person is visiting a house or even just driving by, if the QR code is large enough and you can easily make a 2-foot by 2-foot square QR code, they could be as large as you want.
So you just point your camera at it.
By, Yeah, they point their smartphone at the QR code, and it instantly takes them to that listing with all of the details
wow.
and the pictures and the contact information for the agent. So there's a lot of creative ways to use QR codes in your marketing.
Right, and
again,
you can make these for free.
It is. It is free to generate QR codes, but the whole idea is to make it easy. It's a lot easier to scan something with your phone than to sit there and try to type out a 20 different letters. Let's see, www.
Right.
It takes time to type, but with the QR code, it's instant. You just pull your phone out, scan it, and within a matter of a few seconds, you've accomplished visiting the website or sending the text or downloading the contact info, for example.
Right. Well, for marketing, for mobile marketing, there are just so many places to start, and I think the best thing to do is just take a look, especially if you're local, take a look at your current marketing plan and then really, you know, get up to snuff on mobile marketing. Start with a QR code. Start with a mobile website if you don't have a website at all. You know, just get started. It'll grow and evolve as you go, but you've got to start somewhere. And I think those, am I off, Ben? Are there two other places where they should start first?
No, absolutely. Start with the website and getting a mobile version. Google actually has a whole initiative around mobile sites, and you can find a lot of information about mobile-friendly websites at the Google website, which is howtogomo.com. So it's howtogomo.com, and that's a Google initiative. There's videos and statistics, and they even have something that they call a gomometer where you can gauge whether your website is user-friendly or not by just plugging in the URL, and they will actually test it and give you a customized report based on a number of factors that we've talked about, including the page loading time and the graphics and all of that. But they also have a lot of practical information on making your website mobile-friendly, so it's a great resource to look at.
Well, we are just about out of time again, so tell people where they can find you on the web.
You can find me on the web at bencope.me, which will take you directly to my Facebook page and probably the best way to connect with me. My regular web address is internetgenius.com, and if you pull that up at a mobile phone, it should automatically load the mobile version of the site. So I would love to get feedback on it and see what it looks like.
And, two, if anybody listening now or who will be downloading later from Blog Talk Radio or iTunes, if you have questions about any portion of this program or the interview from last week, because this is a very important topic, get in touch with Ben on Facebook. Get in touch with me on Facebook. We're both very accessible. We're delighted to answer your questions. We're delighted to learn from you. If you have information that maybe we missed, I'd love to hear it. If you've got questions, need a few pointers, contact both of us. Contact Ben, mostly, because he is definitely the expert in this. And it's, one more time, Ben, how do they contact you?
Bencope, B-E-N-C-O-P-E, .me.
Perfect.
And then my web address, internetgenius.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming back and talking about this topic. And truthfully, I think once we get 90 seconds to go, I think truthfully we're going to have to come back around to this probably in 3 or 4 months as we watch this grow and evolve and as we learn more about it. And you know, just for me in particular, as I put it into practice and really begin to have questions and need more guidance, I'm going to get you to come back and share some more. So anyway, Ben, thank you so much for being with me here on the show today. And thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in. I hope you download it and come back and listen. A lot of information. I wish you a very happy weekend. Thank you, everybody. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And I'm going to go drink some coffee. I can barely even talk today. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Denise.
Yeah, bye-bye.